Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. When you think of that song that we sang here a moment ago, "Oh, how I love Jesus." You know, it's a name that we love to hear. It's a name that we love to say. It's a name that we love to sing about. And it does sound like music to our ears, those of us who love him. It is the sweetest name ever heard or ever told. And it is something of an enigma to the world that this Jesus is loved by so many by faith. But you know, it's so important for us to understand that it's more than just a word. It's not a word spelt with the letters J-E-S-U-S, but it is the Son of God. He has character, the power behind that name, and the teaching and the things that he has done for us. That's what the name Jesus represents. It's important for us as we continue down this road of one-way love, of learning about one-way love. And there's so many reasons for us to do that. But you know what's really, really important? And the reason that we're spending so much time and repeating so many different things and bringing in so many new things from the Word. I had a teacher that once told me that if I wanted to be kung fu at anything, that I had to do it 10,000 times. That word kung fu, he was Chinese, and he told me that doesn't mean some kind of fighting thing, that a doctor is kung fu at what he does because he practices so much. A surgeon is kung fu at what he does. That's what it means to be an expert. And imagine that. If you want to be an expert at anything, if you want to be really, really good at something, you got to do it 10,000 times, he said. How many times do we need to read the Scriptures? To be good at rightly handling and dividing the Word of God. To be good at having that Word in us so that we can walk in the light as He is in the light. How many times do we need to talk about the different subjects? Is there a time when we can just simply say, "Well, I've heard that before"? No. Over and over again. 10,000 times. And how long would that take? If the Lord permits, a lifetime. There is no end to our desire to study the different subjects in the Scripture. And why do we study love? As a church that belongs to Christ, that was purchased by His blood, as members of His body here in this local congregation, if we do not understand what agape means, if we do not understand deeply 10,000 times over and over and again how much God is love and what that love means to us, if we don't fully comprehend that, we will not be able to work together and do the work that the Lord has called us all to do. We need to know love. We need to understand biblical love. We need to be able to walk in love as He walked in love and be able to make that a part of our lives. To make conviction, to look in the mirror and say, "This is love," and that's not. We need that. And so we study and we study and we study. Learning one-way love. That's the way that our Creator loves. And listen, just quickly, very quickly, it's not experiential love. It's not emotions, feelings, physical contact. That's not what it's all about. It's not about feelings. Agape love is a love that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness. Those are the things that are produced by walking in godly love. And these things we've already established. That's what we want. We want agape love as it's defined in the Scriptures. It's described as one of sacrifice, Who can deny that God, who is love, sacrifices? Which one of us forgot so quickly the cross? Which one of us would forget so quickly that His Son left the glory and the comforts of heaven to come down to this corrupt and sinful world? Sacrifice and of service. We can't deny that love from God is a form of service to one another. Jesus didn't come to be a king and a ruler on this earth. He came to serve. He washed the feet of His disciples. And He told us all that we needed to be servants as He served us. And it's an obedient love. It's obedient to the founder, to the creator of love. God is love. He's the source of all love. And we need to look to Him and understand how potent and powerful this kind of love is. Remember that the word which states God is love in John 4, 1 John 4 and 6, and we have known and believe that the love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. He who abides in him, he who sacrifices for him, he who lives in service for him, he who is obedient for him. This means that God's offsprings, the children of God, you and I, the beloved in the kingdom, that we practice God's form of love in the image of Him who loved us first. Therefore, since we are in His kingdom, since we are all brothers and sisters in Him, then we must love each other in the way in which He loved us, sacrificing, serving, and obeying, and walking in Him who is agape, who is love, as children of the true and living God, as members together in the one body of Christ called the church. We're striving for something. Something more than just what makes me feel good. Those are the things which come and go with the wind. We want something that is steadfast and sure, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, in His love. That's what agape is, sacrifice, serving to its true maker, obedience, striving together in one spirit, the Spirit of God. Remember God's one-way love for us. Remember that He planned everything from the beginning, before we existed. That's how much He loved us. He loved our souls before they were in this body. He loved us, and He knew us, and He wants us to be in heaven with Him. That's what Peter told us in 1 Peter 1 and 20, that Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And in 2 Timothy in chapter 19 or 1, the Father's purpose was the grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. That's what we want in our lives. So the last time we looked at what agape, how it was defined by Paul's letter to the Corinthians. But you know one thing that's absent from all those definitions of love and what love is not was emotion. Today we want to glean from the Scriptures some examples of how godly love worked in the lives of some. But what we want to really see is how godly love actually works for us. Do we have questions? Questions. Do we have godly love for God, for our spouses, for our brethren? And does this kind of love fill our lives up with the joy and the love and the peace that comes from God? I hope so, because it's necessary to be doing the things that God has called us to do, to be the kind of Christian He wants us to be, to love the way the Bible defines that word, and not to try to fit that into some worldly manner. You know, what we want to look at today is the defining of sacrifice. Love as defined as sacrifice. Love as defined by God's love for man. Love as defined by the love that man has for God. And love defined by what love does. So let's look at defined as sacrifice. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends." In this statement, we find the very embodiment of sacrifice. That's what it's all about. Jesus, of course, is alluding to His own body sacrificed upon the cross. His crucifixion. He laid down His life for us. Shouldn't we live in that way, giving our lives to one another? He laid down His life for the men who spit upon Him. He laid down His life for the people who slapped Him. He laid down His life for the people who pierced His hands and feet. He laid down His life for those Pharisees and Sadducees and those Jews who came by and mocked Him and ridiculed Him while He was hanging on that cross. And we need to do that for one another. Not the spitting and the slapping and the ridiculing and all that, but the love. The love that He had from the cross to man. We need to do that as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it's the very embodiment of the sacrifice. We see that Christ died on that cross. And we must never forget that. That God demonstrated His love towards us and that while we were still yet in our sins, Christ died for us. The Apostle John echoed this point by simply saying, "In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." And in this is love. Not that we love God, but rather that He loved us and sent His own Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, that's how important it is. This is what love is all about. It's sacrifice. It's giving for another's need. Sacrifice, not just physical things. You know, I can give somebody $20 out of love, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. I can mow somebody's lawn, wash their windows. There's a lot of things we can physically do to show our love. So it's not just words. But you know, He was the propitiation for our sins. In other words, He was the intercessor. He stood between us and God. Shouldn't we do the same for one another? In other words, if I slap you on the cheek out of ignorance and stupidity or foolishness, shouldn't you just love me back? Understand that I'm just a foolish person sometimes. I make mistakes. If I do something or say something, or maybe I don't do something or don't say something that you're expecting me to say, that's like a slap in the face to some people. Shouldn't we be like Jesus? And shouldn't we just turn the other cheek and understand that, you know, maybe they didn't do it on purpose or they don't know what they're doing? Isn't that what Jesus said? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing." Can't I say that to you? Can't you say that to me? That's what it is. Sacrifice. Sacrifice means giving up of yourself. Not thinking so highly of yourself, but thinking about the needs of others. Paul the Apostle said we need to consider others greater than ourselves. Let's not be drugged down by that feeling and emotion that some people confuse as love and be lifted up by the power of love, that is the truth of love. Love is action. Think about that. Each of these passages, love is seen as a sacrifice. God sacrificed His Son because He loved man. John 3 and 16, we know God so loved the world that He gave. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us and He gave Himself for us. That's what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He's the one who gave himself out of his love for me. Therefore, as we consider the death of Christ on the cross and the resulting remission of our sins, as Jesus would say, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, what should we think about our attitudes towards one another in godly love? What about our attitudes toward mankind? He sacrificed everything for everybody. Shouldn't we at least do the same? Give up all of our hurts and bangs and emotions and the baggage that the world has put upon us and step up in love. And we need to keep this in mind. We see Paul as he writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 2 and 15. You look at that. And with this in mind, Paul's telling them, "I will gladly spend and be spent." Think about that for a second. Let that sink in. Paul said, "I will gladly spend and be spent for your souls, for you." Isn't that an amazing attitude of love? To be gladly spent for and be spent for another. That's what makes a marriage wonderful. That's what makes the church wonderful, that we're willing to spend and be spent for one another. And he goes on to say, "So the more abundantly I love you, even though I love you abundantly, there were some in Corinth who loved him less." So here's a question. Did Paul stop loving those who loved him less? I don't think so. He continued to write. He continued to exhort. He continued to rebuke out of love. He continued in tears day and night. He loved them, pure and simple. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to spend and be spent for them, even though the more he loved them, the more some people would not love him. The less they loved him. Isn't that a shame? But, you know, there's the difference between the example of the apostle and the example of the weakness of man. We don't want to be weak. We want to walk in the ways of love, walk in the light. It was ready, Paul, ready to sacrifice for the cause of Christ in that city. That's what it's all about. Certainly it wasn't a waste. You know, this was the attitude of Christ as well as, because he gave himself for the world who hated him and were opposed to him. So again, I ask the question, in understanding of a sacrificial kind of agape love, what should our love be like? What should our attitudes be towards one another? Could we do this? Could we love those who hate us? Can we sacrifice to those who don't care about us? Or do we only love those who love us the way we want to be loved? Or do we only love the brethren who are like us or people who are like us in the world? You know what? We can do this. Why? Because we can do all things through him who gives us strength. We can do this. Jesus, we must sacrifice for one another. As John said, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." We ought to lay down our lives for the brother. Beloved, that's what it means. We sacrifice ourselves to one another. And when somebody loves us less for doing it, we just love them more. Because he gives us, and we abound in love more and more as we love. So how much should we love one another under this context? There's no limit. There is no limit. Therefore, let them see love in us by our sacrifice. That's what Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20. "The life that I now live, I live because Christ is in me." Think about that. The life that I live is because of the crucified Christ. Also, we need to be one that lets Christ dwell in our hearts. Christ needs to dwell in our hearts through faith, so that being rooted and grounded in love, we're doing the things that please Him. We want Him to dwell in us. 10,000 times I can read the Scriptures wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough. And we can never forget. This is so important, because that's why we read it 10,000 times. That's why we have daily study. We never want to forget. We always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Yes, it was His cross that was the sacrifice, and now it's our turn. It's our turn. We have to honor Him by carrying our cross daily and following Him. Is that sometimes hard to do? Yeah, you bet. Why? Because we're still humans. There's still that battle between the spirit and the flesh. And yes, we make mistakes. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we make mistakes. As brothers and sisters, sometimes we're just like any other family in the world, in that sense that sometimes I say something that makes my brother mad or my sister mad, and they leave the room, but they come back to the table. And we need to come back. We need to do this daily thing, taking up our crosses, Jesus said in Luke 9 and 23. Daily. That's something that we can't avoid. Is it hard? Yeah. Can you do it? Yeah. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Ask a question of you, brethren. How much did Christ love the church? So much that He gave His own life? So much that His blood was poured out? That He would purchase it with that blood? Acts 20 and 28. This is love that describes God's love for man. As we go on, we think about God's love for man. The way that God loved us defines His love for mankind. And it should be apparent to everyone. John, you know, when we think about John in his vision in the rapture at Patmos, the 24 elders are around the throne of God, and they're all saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by You they exist and are created." They knew God, those elders. We need to know God intimately like that. Not know of God like the world out there. They just know the word God, the word Jesus, and that's all that matters. We don't want to get into all this Bible stuff. We need the Scriptures in us. 10,000 times isn't enough. God so loved that He gave, and they knew God. And they worshiped Him. And they gave Him honor and power because He is the creator of all things. And everything exists because of Him. And we need to understand how much He loved us. You know, we're not here by accident. I don't know about you, but I'm not an accident. I'm not some thing that crawled out of the mud, became a gorilla or a monkey, and then eventually became man. No accident at all. We're here because the love that God is motivated Him in love to create us. What a wonderful thing. We serve such a powerful and loving Father. His love is seen in His greatest gift, His Son, towards man. He would give His Son undeniably. That God's love for man is tremendous and sacrificial. He wants us to be with Him in heaven. That was His plan from the very beginning. And He's given us a book. It's called the Bible. Something that we can read over and over and over and over again, which leads us and empowers us to go down that narrow, difficult path which leads to heaven. His love for us is seen in what love truly is and how we can know Him as love, is the way that we need to know one another. You and me, we can all do this. Romans 4 and 25, He was delivered. When we think about His love for man, it was because He was delivered to death for our sins, for our justification. Romans 8 and 23, He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? He gave us everything. In 1 John 4 and 10, He's our Lamb. He's our atoning sacrifice. He's the one who died for our sins. Now, what about man's love for God? What about turning it around and looking back up into heaven? And let's think about this. Let it sink in. It starts with giving. That should be our body in sacrifice and in service. The love of God, it was seen by His willingness to sacrifice for us. There's no question that He wants us to be with Him in heaven. Peter wrote that God doesn't want anyone to perish in 2 Peter 3 and 9. God's love is unmatched, unquestionable. Now, is our love for God to be unmatched in the world? Is our love for God to be unquestionable? Do we love Him or not? Consider what we have. In all the discussions, from the very first lesson until now, we see that God clearly is a loving God, that He requires no lip service from man. Not lip service. He doesn't want to hear us say, "I love you." Love requires action. Agape love is sacrifice and service, being obedient to the designer of love. And I must position myself spiritually. We must all do this spiritually to do God's will. And it starts with giving ourselves in sacrifice to others. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, you know, he said, present your body. It's an interesting word in Greek. It's not a real complex word. To present your body, peristemi. It comes from two Greek words, para, meaning close, behind, and histemi, meaning to stand. Properly to stand close behind, ready to present yourself, to exhibit. In other words, we're going to sacrifice ourselves in a means that we're giving our whole life to God, turning ourselves over to His will, standing behind Him, letting Him lead us in our one-way love to Him. We love Him and we're willing to do this for the rest of our life is what it means. Or until the day in which we die. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. It has to do with putting things away. It has to do with no longer living to self, but dying to self. Jesus said that he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life shall find it. Paul says, for the love of Christ compels us. Why? Because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again. Since sacrifice that Christ made upon the cross was for us, then we need to sacrifice again ourselves to Him. That's how we show our love for Him, by living for Him, not dying to him, for Him in a physical sense, but spiritually dying. That's what baptism is all about. Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4 tells us that baptism is a death, burial, and a resurrection. We die into Christ. And then we put on Christ. We come out a new creation and we walk in Him. That's how we show our love for God. If not, then can we truly say we love Him? Never forget the words of Christ when He said, "But why do you call me Lord and you do not the things which I say?" Isn't that something important for us? Remember the type of love that God wants to have us manifest itself in various ways. But for certain, not by emotion, not physical or some kind of physical gratification. It's by sacrifice, by serving, and by being just like its master. So how demanding this is, how demeaning is it when you drive down the street and you see a bumper sticker that says, "Honk if you love Jesus"? Serious. Think about that. How demeaning is that to the true purpose of love? Honk if you love Jesus. When you compare that to what everything He did in His life for us, it's in the world, it's come down to a toot of the horn. Isn't that amazing? It's sad. You know, as we've already studied, the divide, where we're talking so much about sacrifice and service, that's what love really is. So what does a beep on the horn do? That's an emotional response to some words on a bumper sticker. So what does God's love do? That brings us to the question, what does His love do? We walk and obey Him. That's what it does. In John 14 and 15 and 23 and 24, John writes, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. And my commandments aren't grievous," he said. But he said, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." So important for us to think about this. This is what love actually does. It's a motion. It's a verb, not a noun in that sense. When we truly love God, we do more than just honk our horns. We do His will. We obey His word. That's all we need to do to live as He would have us live. This is the love of God, that we walk after His commandments. John 2 John 6. And just how obedient are we to the will of God? According to John, our love for God is seen in our obedience to His word. It's directly proportional. You know, the more we love God, the more we obey His will. The less we love God, the less we obey His will. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 29 says, "For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have in abundance." The more you love, the more love will be given. And the more you're given, the more you have. And it's just continually compounding love. There's no end to it. It's matchless love. So the more I love you, eventually, the more I'm going to be loved back. The more I love God, the more I'm going to understand His love. And it continues. You know, James says in his writings that we have to walk in love. In James chapter 4, in verse 17, we need to do the will of God. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." And so we need to walk in this love, not just talk about it. We're not honking our horns. We're showing our love. We're embracing one another with a holy kiss. We're serving one another and in home and at work and in the church. We're concerned about the needs of one another. That's what love does. And it's continuous. There's no end to it. I don't stop loving you because you said something to somebody else that I heard about and I didn't like? What do I do in that case out of love? What does love demand? I go to you and I talk to you and I work it out before the sun goes down. Do I run home and just ignore you and avoid you? Is that sin? You bet it is. Why is that sin? Because Jesus said that if you have something against your brother, you leave your gift at the altar and you go and take care of that thing right now, today, before the sun goes down. And that's the right thing to do. James says, if you know what's right, you've heard this. I can't believe we haven't heard this. So we know it's right. And what do? We get upset and we run off somewhere and we never show up. That's not right, is it? No, James says if you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. Pretty simple. It doesn't take a scholar to understand those words. Love is that which does the will of God. Active, sacrificial, service, one that obeys its maker, its designer, its creator. That's what love does. Let's bring this to a conclusion. Walking in agape love for God goes a long, long way in determining our eternal home. And you can say that exactly opposite, that if we don't walk in godly love, it goes a long way in determining our eternal home. I like the first one better. Same words, just two different meanings. Think about this. Without agape, without the kind of love that God demands, the kind of love that He is, the kind of love that He gave to us, well, if we don't want to pervert that love by turning it into emotions and feelings and gratifications and physical touches, that's not what it is. It can produce those things, but that's not what it is. Without agape love, everything we do is sin. Think about that. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, I have become what? A sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all the faith so that I could remove mountains, but I don't have love, what am I? I'm nothing. And Paul goes on to say, and though I bestow all my goods to the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Yeah, the way that we walk, the kind of love that we force ourselves to learn through God, determines where we'll be in eternity. Our love for God motivates us. It needs to do what is right, to please Him, to live for Him all the days of our lives. And it is useless to claim to love God by mouth and not by works, not honking horns. Think about that. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, not by just the mouth. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. We can say that about love. So according to this study, when we seek to define love as seen in the Scriptures, that agape, God's love, it's defined as sacrifice. We can clearly see that because He practiced that in His greatest gift of love for all mankind, His own Son on the cross. God wants us to see our love for Him daily. He wants to see our love for Him daily in a daily sacrifice and a service towards Him by keeping His commandments. That's pretty simple. And living godly as children of God. He showed that to us in His Son, who lived as His Son in obedience and in service upon this earth on our behalf and because of His Son's love for the Father. And finally, we see that love is, it's not ambiguous. It's not a feeling. It's not something that is manifested from the heart of man. It's a literal driving force that does the words or the works of Him who loves us. It's manifested by the building up of the saints in love for one another. Love does whatever God requires, whether it be sacrifice or service, but it's a non-hypocritical obedience to the faith by its very designer, who is God. My question today, having said all these things, is do you love God? Do you understand all the things that He's done for us in this world? He's never left us nor forsaken us. His love for us was before time began, and it continues now as we sit in this auditorium, this blessed and holy place. We have a song of an invitation. An invitation is just the words of the Lord calling you. They're calling you. Do you love me? Keep my commandments. Do you love me? Confess me before men. Do you love me? Repent of your sins. Do you love me? Be baptized in the waters for the remission of your sins, to be added to the church, my body, which I purchase with my blood. Do you love me? Don't honk at me. Don't give me lip service. Just do what I ask. That's what Jesus is saying. Do you love Jesus? If you do, then you need to call upon Him now while He's near. You can't let your heart be hardened over time by not obeying the gospel. Why not now is the song of invitation. And if we're Christians and we've fallen short in any manner whatsoever, we need to repent of that sin. If we've been somebody who hasn't really, if we've been giving lip service to God, telling how much we love Him, but we're involved in other things, sinful things, we need to make that right. We have opportunity today, brothers and sisters, we're standing here ready to help anyone who has need while we stand and sing this song.